Josh,
Max,
you're fucking late today, bro.
I know I'm late in most situations in life. I thought that when I got sober, that might work itself out, but I
So
think I need
it was never the drugs that
no,
kept
I
you
need the
late.
adrenaline rush of like being late for something.
Do you get an adrenaline rush when you're running behind?
Yeah, my smartwatch straight up tells me it's like, oh, your heart rate's up 20 beats per minute. It's like, yeah, I'm fucking loving this.
That's hilarious. Yeah, I like try to do 100 different things combined into one, like 10-minute period, and I'm constantly behind and fucking up.
Yeah, it's crazy. I've been in this new role at this new job for like almost a month now, and I have executive leadership team meetings every morning at 8 a.m. and I'm 5 minutes late every time, no matter what I do.
And you're supposed to be 15 minutes early. That's on time.
That's correct. I'm supposed to be prepared for these meetings. Instead, I come in my jacket and boots, like from outside
And
directly into the meeting room.
what do you do? Do you apologize or what's your tactic there?
Apologize the first two times and now I just come in.
Well, leadership role suits you. Yeah, my partner in life.
Not your business partner.
Yeah, I guess that's a confusing, but I also don't want to use their name.
Very good. Yeah, I'm learning from our last episode that I can just say him or her, use pronouns rather than names. No need to fake names.
Right. Well, I just called her there, and now people, nobody really, right? But people might think that she's trans. So there's that. Like, who
Last
know her?
You know, your partner asked me about our last episode why, when I was creating a fake name for one of my ex-partners, I used a male name.
Well, I know why.
Yeah, we don't have to get into why. It'll just give more away.
Yeah. Say their last name and social security number. Well, yeah, I like rushing. My partner hates it. And it's like I get us into these situations where we're forced to rush, and I really catch a lot of shit about it. And there's something very amusing about that too.
Yeah, you guys are well matched and well balanced in a lot of ways, actually. It's very adorable.
What's funny is how I dig us into these situations, and then like it requires a bunch of chaotic like running around being late to get out of it, and I'm trying to like weasel my way out of it, but while also stressing. And then my philosophy in life in general is it inevitably will work out, so it does. Like, it's not a big deal if you miss something or you're late or whatever. It works out. And then there's a part at the end of it all where it settles, and then it's like, oh, I told you it'd work out, and then it's like all fine. But the chaos of getting there is kind of hilarious. I do have topics to bring up.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think it's like things that I thought of. I did get high last night, and I do have good ideas when I am high on marijuana.
Sure, it takes you out of yourself and changes your perspective.
Yeah, well, something cool that happened, like I hadn't smoked weed in a number of weeks actually, and I like every time I smoke weed, I feel my body really differently. Like, I have back problems, right? And I've been
Yeah.
working actually quite a lot on my stretching and mobility and all that. So the weed kind of took me into this place where I felt my spine really well in a way that I hadn't in a very long time. So it's a funny thing, because it's definitely bad using drugs in some respects, but that thing, like, I can't actually get that feeling any other way, like feeling my spine that like sensitively.
Like you can't be in your body on that level unless you're
I
altered.
guess I can. It's not just altered. I think it's specifically marijuana, but I think that I can be in my body. Like, I do practice meditation, completely sober, and there's like being in your body pieces of that, right? And like doing a body scan from head to toe and feeling, you know, different parts of your body. But there's something very different about being high on marijuana and feeling your body. It's like specifically even around my spine. Like I feel my spine and I like can tuck my hips like a centimeter forward and feel more rooted in my entire spine. So there's just something about that drug specifically that I feel my spine really, really acutely.
I wonder if there's a way for you to be
without
microdosing weed or something. Like, I wonder if there's a way for you to get that effect without the impairment that, you know, you lose your car keys.
Right. It might be, yeah, like I decided to almost lose my passport because of it, whatever. It might be like a CBD effect. I don't know. What do you think about that?
No,
it's not CBD. Like it's not the CBD and I could like extract, like just take a CBD that won't fuck me up that bad. And that would put me in my body more. Like it's not the cannabinoid or the, what, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, what do I know, but
Arrowhead.com. You're a master.
I donate to them annually.
Is that true? How much do you donate?
Like $15 or something. Maybe a high.
You give a high, 18.
Yeah.
Do you ever get to Wikipedia?
I think the weed thing is perceptual. I think you're perceiving your body differently and adjusting and feeling better once you've perceived it and adjusted it. I don't think it's CBD because CBD is not perceptual. It's anti-inflammatory or whatever. So it's like would take away some pain, but you're saying you like posture yourself differently, which means that you're thinking differently, which means that it's THC or whatever else.
Dang. Well, I thought of some funny stuff while I was having a conversation with that partner whilst high and feeling good in my spine.
Wait, what do you mean that partner? How many do you have?
I have one.
Okay.
The partner that I was referring to earlier in this conversation.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Will she like to be called that one? Will they like to be called that one?
I actually haven't gone over with they what, like how to be able to talk about them or any of the shit in our lives on this. Yeah, it's probably worth a conversation with them to set some boundaries around it, I would say.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, here's what we were talking about. We were trying to come up with this. Like I was trying to see a picture of this person that she was referring to. And his name is Sean. He's a Jewish guy. And we were trying to figure out what the Jewish spelling of Sean is. What do you think it is? S-E-A-N, S-H-A-U-N, or S-H-A-W-N? So I was high enough to think that that was a good topic to bring up. And then I just
moved back. Jewish to do S-E-A-N.
How come that's the Jewish one?
Because the other one is like, more of a Philadelphia accent. It just makes me think of Sean.
It's close to John.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not Jewish. That's like the dialect of an American
Irish person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right, that one's resolved. And then the other one, I was going to go check out a synagogue for Purim. It's Purim tonight. Are you doing anything in Alaska for this holiday, Josh?
Chag Sameach. No, I'm having a weird date with a woman.
Oh, why is it a weird date?
Tell me your thing first, and then we'll get into my thing.
You're definitely, since last episode, a little more defensive about some of my lines of questioning.
Well, I just want you to share as much as I shared. I shared all kinds of things about my asshole last episode, and you just kind of let me.
Well, first of all, that's what buddies do. And second of all, we're building from the asshole out. You know what I mean? So we start with the foundation, which is the asshole to some extent.
That's how I do my daily mindfulness practice, actually. My meditation is from the asshole out.
Is that true? Your body scan?
No, I wish I did a body scan. I just chug coffee and I'm late to work.
And when do you diarrhea in the day? Is that come at work? Like, do you have to leave the meeting early to respond to that coffee in your body, or does it?
No,
back to your asshole, by the way.
My diarrheas are not urgent diarrheas. They're just, they need to get done at some point. But I do one before work. I'm usually late to work. Then after the meeting, I'll do another.
We're back to your asshole. You know, so on the Eisenhower's matrix of importance, your poop would fall into the important but not urgent.
That's right.
Quadrant. Okay. The other one I had, so I just moved to Philadelphia.
Mazel tov.
For anybody trying to target us, they'll find me here. And I'm trying to find a shul, a synagogue to go to, you know, to hear the Megillah for Purim. And I was pitching it to my partner. I'm like, yeah, we should go to this one because it was in the news because a bunch of people had spray painted like go back to Brooklyn or go back to Europe, like out on like poles and stuff outside of this synagogue in Philadelphia. And I was like selling it as that being like a hip attribute for the shul.
I mean, that is cool. It means they're targeted, which means they've made it.
Right. I thought it meant that it was even like hip. Like, I feel like the people spray painting that shit are actually like leftist hipsters that are cognizant of other hipster like environments. And so that indicated to me that that shul might be a kind of a young hip shul because the young hipster leftists spray painted shit on it.
Oh, you think it was their own shul congregants?
No, but that would also be even more badass, actually. They, like, we got to get this shul somewhere. Well, let's put it on the map, spray paint it. It was in, like, Times of Israel. I mean, it was, you know, anyway. Well, both of these ideas were conversation topics I thought of for this call whilst high, so I guess they were not that successful.
They're terrible ideas. Yeah. And that's how it goes with high ideas. They're great ideas when you're high.
Yeah.
And to integrate them into the reality is fucking dumb.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Maybe I could take the CBD about it. All right, Josh. Well, what else do you have for me, man?
I've got a lady friend on the way. I'm on the apps. I'm back on the apps in full swing.
And you're in like a remote part of Alaska for the
last. And that's why I'm on the apps. It's because in my role, which I think I will also not name for now.
Sure.
Every woman in this town, every person in this town is either an employee of mine or a client of mine. And so I can't date in this small town.
Right.
There are probably exceptions out there, but I haven't found them yet. And so in the meantime, I'm on the apps talking with women who are over 100 miles away.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Who we have nice conversations. And then I'm like, all right, reality time. I'm a 2-hour drive or a 3-hour drive from you. So what are we doing? And this one woman was like, I'm coming this weekend. And I was like, really? And yeah, she's coming soon. She's going to start her drive soon. And we'll sleep over here. I established with her that since we're not like sexting or anything, it's not like a sexual conversation yet. There's no assumption or expectation. I said, I'll sleep on the couch, or if things go differently, you know, you got a nice big bed.
To which she responded.
She's like very open to it, which is, she's very nice, but that's also a little flaggy. It's like, this is our first date. It's going to be a sleepover party.
Right. But I guess that's...
Is that adulthood?
No. Is that what?
Is that adulthood? Is that being in your 30s?
It could be. I mean, I like that she's taking the bull by the... Like, just coming out, you know? You got to just jump in, right?
She's really jumping in. Like, to the point where I wonder what other situations she's been in life. If she's putting herself out there on a 3-hour drive for a sleepover.
Pretty judgmental, party. Josh.
What's that?
I said pretty judgmental, Josh. What situations have you been in? You're accepting the 3-hour drive.
fine.
And house guest. She could murder you.
Jesus. Yeah, you're right. I don't think she's going to murder me. Although, I don't want to give too many identifiers, but she has a face tattoo.
Cool.
I agree.
Yeah. I like it. We'll see how it goes. That's exciting. So what's it like being on the apps again? You feel defeated about it? It's like how everybody dates these days.
No, you know, you and I were talking about this recently, but like being in your mid-30s, you just have so much more shit together. I feel like I've never looked so physically attractive, and I've never been so attractive on paper. And I've never known so explicitly what I want and what I don't want. And so I got on the apps and felt really good about myself. Like that's always what I've wanted out of the apps and gotten one way or the other. But like this time, I don't know, I got some good hits.
And are you using the AI pictures that you shared recently of your photo roll?
I'm not. I thought
we'll include it in the show notes from everybody.
Right. I thought about putting that out there in some capacity, and I
put it at the bottom of your profile and be like, if you read this, that picture is AI, and that's how you know people read your profile.
For the listeners, my organization that I work for is too cheap to hire a photographer, and so they have that's not it, they just won't hire a photographer. And so they found a $10 subscription to an AI-generated headshot company. And so you send them 12 selfies, and then they make some headshots for you, professional headshots. And mine were outlandish. My moles, my facial moles were like reorganized on my face. And it was like if the stars were realigned, the Polynesians would be lost at sea. Like I just couldn't recognize myself when the moles were in different places. And then they put hair on top of my head, like thick hair, and gave me like big ass forearms and dressed me up in a suit and tie, which I'd never be dressed up in. And I just couldn't recognize myself. It was incredibly weird. And ultimately my mom said she liked one of these pictures, and so we went with that one. And I showed it to one of the women that I'm chatting with on the apps. I didn't put it on my profile, but I showed it to her. And I was like, look at this crazy shit. And I think she liked it more than she likes me, like my pictures.
Well, yeah, it's an amazing picture. You look like a model.
Right, right. So I think it's having a negative effect. Like, I'm not going to put it out there for women that are prospective romantic interests. Because it's just like an Instagram filter or a Snapchat filter.
It'll be a huge letdown when they meet you in real life.
It's such a lie.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I wish you luck with this meetup, man. I think, you know, my parents were like started dating long distance. I feel like a lot of good relationships start like that.
Wait, is that true? What's your parents' love story?
They were in New York and Philadelphia and met at a party in New Jersey. And so, like, I think, you know, dated and commuted and all of that, which is 2.5 hours. I mean, honestly, it's just funny that 2.5 hours to Anchorage, which is in and of itself, like, too small of a fucking town to date anybody successfully either, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's cute. I didn't know that about your parents. My parents also met at a party in college-ish. And I remember reading like a newspaper article about it in the Temple News or whatever it was. And my dad was like the featured story. He was like Van Wilder, but more political. And there was like, I just remember it was like an article that said like Cliff Goldstein can be found at any party on Temple campus playing folk songs on his acoustic guitar. And apparently my mom was charmed by this.
Oh, they hadn't met. Sorry, I thought the article was about them meeting, but it was just about him getting profiled. And you named his name, by the way. I don't know if we need to beep that out. I'm not going to edit
it. Yeah. Beep it out.
Christ. I can't do that.
You can. I know you can.
It's such a pain in the ass.
Just learn to use your tools.
Yeah. Do you actually need me to edit it out? Terrible. Fuck you, Josh.
I honestly don't know, because I don't know what this is yet. I don't know.
Yeah, it's nothing. But I don't know. If we have 50 of them and we do something that might get us hatred, then somebody will target your father and ruin his life.
I mean, it would be easy enough for people to Google image search my tefillin picture, or
yeah, they can figure it out.
Yeah.
Just stop naming names, for Christ's sake.
I can't. Because I'm talking to my friends.
I know. And your Orienta.
I don't like keeping in mind that we have audience. That's going to be a hard hurdle for me.
Maybe we should stop this thing before it gets out of hand.
Before I out all of my shit.
Like, yeah. You're about 30. To say your bank account fucking number on here. Well, Josh, and what are you doing tomorrow that you had to move this to today?
Tomorrow I'm taking this lady out hiking.
The overnight date or whatever. So you can't do something at 7 a.m.
That's correct.
And where are you going hiking? Is it still snowy up there?
You know, it's beautiful right now. It's probably about 45 degrees. It's like unseasonably warm. And I could talk weather all day. That's what we do in this little town in Alaska. Oh, but hunker down. But I think it's supposed to rain a fuck ton in a little bit.
I've started to hate when people talk to me about the weather. Like, I go to all these conferences for work, and people are always talking to you about the weather. It's crazy. It seems like I'm in a simulation, and it's like Pleasantville, you know? And it's terrible. And like aliens are watching us or something like that. And it's just like, or like the other thing I think about is the way that we look at apes is the way that humans, you know, a few million years from now will look at us and be like, all they did was talk to each other about the fucking weather. It's brutal.
It's funny. The weather stuff on the East Coast is like, clearly we have nothing. We've actually run out of everything to talk about, including small talk. So here's the Alamo of conversations. Right. Whereas it's like the bottom of the barrel you're scraping.
Whereas the weather's here, not that impressive. Here's your fucking big swinging Alaska dick right here, huh? Go ahead.
Not impressive. Important.
Important. Life or death.
Important. It's like, if I need, we talk about the weather to see like what the road conditions are going to be, if I'm going to have a roof avalanche that I have to shovel out my front door from, if the fishermen are going out today, are the seas going to be high enough and the winds high enough that like somebody's going to lose a spouse? Like it just matters. And so when people talk weather here, it like doesn't feel like small talk. It feels like
big talk.
It feels like a community meeting. Yeah.
All right.
This is boring.
Me too. Yeah, I'm bored. I just got back from seeing Dune 2.
Oh, yeah. How was it?
It was funny. Partner didn't like it because...
Too Arabized?
No, that's funny, though. It's, it's definitely like they're Bedouins, which is cool.
Yeah, 100%.
It's more that there's like... She basically believes that men should not be allowed to make movies anymore. they're all focused on men. It's about men bullshit. There's like a fight between the two big guys at the end and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And women are, you know, marginalized and relegated in it. And on top of that, they're 3 fucking hours long. And it's everybody's like ego and about their penises and all of this stuff. And so that's like what she views as the... She's not wrong, which is pretty funny.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, go ahead.
I agree.
Her
I
antidote to that is that reality TV is the answer. As the antidote to 3 hour long male movies.
Is women with fake tits yelling at
screaming
each other.
At each other. Yeah, I don't. I
over
guess
a
it's
man.
Empowering.
It's,
yeah,
it's literally the same thing, but for women. It's if it's two big men in a fight scene in the finale of a movie, it's two big dicks fighting over a woman or a piece of territory. And if it's Real Housewives, it's two big titted women fighting over a dick. Like, what's the difference?
I guess the women are doing the fighting. Like, I guess that that's the point, right? They're
Just
in,
combine
it's like
them.
about them. Like, the men are all like tangential to the women in their lives, right? I guess. I don't know. I don't watch enough of it.
The men are tangential in those shows. Yeah, I don't know. I
But you
guess
agree
she's
with her.
right.
Yeah.
I guess I agree, and I think that the answer, the antidote, is to cast more Real Housewives into Dune 3.
Right. If the army was all Real Housewives, it
Actually,
would
that
have
would
been
sell.
exciting.
That
Yeah.
would sell.
Yeah. All right. What the fuck else are we talking about? Jesus Christ, dude.
This got bad, huh?
How many episodes do we give it? I feel like we need to come prepared a little bit. Like, I think that that's why all these other podcasts have like a fucking Google jockey. It's somebody to just pull up videos. Like, did you see this? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck happened in your week? I worked this week. I moved. It rained.
Oh, I closed on a condo. That did happen. I
What's that
made.
like? That's a guy in his 40s. That's not a guy in his 30s. Look at you.
I made more money than I've ever heard of making. And it's terrifying. I'm very uneasy having this much money because I know how impulsive I am. I'm gonna find a casino.
That's honestly, that thought crossed your mind.
No, there's no casinos in Alaska. Thank God. That thought crossed my mind is, oh, there are no casinos here. Thank God.
Like, what are you afraid of that you're going to blow it and be embarrassed or
Yeah,
shamed about it?
I think the easiest, most realistic thing for me to impulse buy right now is a sailboat.
That's where your head is going.
I don't want to buy a sailboat, but I know that at the checkout counter at the grocery store, I might end up buying a pack of Mentos and a sailboat.
They sell sailboats at the grocery store?
Like a block away.
What do you mean?
It was a
Like they have
bad
like
joke.
pamphlets? Oh,
No, there's a harbor full of boats for sale, like used boats that these rich people threw money at long ago. It was a terrible mistake and investment, and now they need to be bought for slightly cheaper by some other sucker. And I think I'm that sucker.
what can you can, for the amount of money that you have, can you afford a sailboat like that?
Nobody can afford a sailboat. What they say down here is a boat is just a hole in the ocean that you throw money into.
Yeah.
I can afford to buy one and I can afford to throw more money at it. And then in 3 years, I'm fucked.
Yeah. I started investing in the S&P 500 last week.
Cool. Yeah, index funds are cool. I've read all the books, Rich Dad, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm currently reading The Psychology of Money.
Feels kind of shitty to be like preparing for retirement, like what the fuck?
Yeah, it's pretty lame. And that's the other side of like, I just want an interesting life, which doesn't
Right.
mean saving this money.
Right. Yeah, me too. What is it the want an interesting life? Do you think we are victims of like, I don't know, social media and TV and shit? Because
I
we just
mean,
watch interesting lives?
my knee-jerk reaction was privilege. It requires enough privilege to be like, oh, I don't want to be financially secure. I'd rather have fun.
Right. And but which is funny because your place of privilege is like the suburbs, like it's like pretty bad.
Yeah.
Not like it's like not an interesting life. But it's like
Exactly.
you're cozy
Yeah.
enough to be like, well, I want more than this.
Yeah, it's like if you grow up with deadhead, pothead parents, then you're like, I hate weed, I hate the Grateful Dead.
If you grow
And
up in
it's
a
the same.
boring life.
Yeah, I grew up in the suburbs and I'm like, oh, you know what would be nice is either extraordinarily wealthy or middle class.
Well, you live in Alaska and hike around a lot. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm leading an interesting life. All I have to do is not spend money, actually. It's very easy for the lifestyle I've set up to just not blow this and to save it.
you know, that's the move. Like,
sure.
I think it is. I mean, it's like people get money and that all they think about how to spend it. But actually, if you just stay where you are, then you'll have a bunch of money in the long run.
Yeah, I'm not actually going to buy a boat. That was a bit of an extreme statement, but there is a lot of gear to this lifestyle. Like, I could easily buy a better set of backcountry skis or like an avalanche backpack or like all this other shit, you know?
What's an avalanche backpack do for you?
I actually already have one, but I could get a nicer one.
What does it do?
It's actually kind of interesting. It's a backpack which has a gas-powered canister in it that has an airbag. And so the airbag deploys either under a certain amount of PSI pressure on your bag or if you pull the cord. So if there's an avalanche and you're caught in it, the goal is to stay on the surface of the snow because if you get buried, you're definitely going to die. And so there's something called the Brazil nut effect in physics, which is where if you have a can of mixed nuts and you shake them up, the bigger nuts, the Brazil nuts, are going to come to the surface of the nuts because the bigger the thing, the more flotation it has. And so based on the Brazil nut effect, they've designed backpacks with airbags so that you can be the Brazil nut in the debris of an avalanche.
Well, high in selenium content too. Meaty.
That's right.
Very
I
good
learned
for
that.
You.
I learned that from an ex, and I eat one every morning.
One Brazil nut?
Yeah.
Jesus. Dude, you got a whole bunch of secrets, huh? Do you ever deploy the avalanche backpack?
No, I haven't.
You don't even know what
No.
it is like or what it feels like or what it looks like.
It's true. I should do it
I'm
once.
I'm going to come over and do it in your house. Are you supposed to be able to get it back into the backpack somehow?
Like, I mean,
is it
I think you could like
reusable?
You can deflate it, but then you got to go to a store that specializes in
That's
pressurized
how they get
gas.
You. That is how they fucking get you, dude.
And
It's like printer cartridges.
Exactly. You got to repressurize it. So you only get one.
Dang.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should get a nicer one of those.
Exactly. And you know what? Here's the funny thing. I bought the first one used and it was still too expensive. And I don't even have the skills in backcountry skiing to even be in that situation. Like
right.
I don't even ski on 30-degree angled slopes. So it wouldn't happen. But
You're
I might
like
buy an X-Pack.
You're an Alaska nerd, first of all. And second of all, you're not good enough to even be in an avalanche, is what
That's
you're
right.
saying.
But maybe if I invest in the
If you
gear,
had a
this
nicer
is
backpack, yeah.
Yeah, if I get a nicer backpack, then maybe I'll up my skill level.
You should just take two trips in a helicopter, spend all of the money on that, and get yourself into a couple of avalanches. Seems like a good use of the money. Waste.
Don't think I haven't thought it. I've thought about extravagant trips. Oh, I could fly out to the Alaska Range and spend a week skiing around. Now I can afford flights places, like remote bush plane flights.
You're just gonna invest in fucking index funds. That's the sad part. It's like,
Boring.
when do you think that, like, I have friends that happened to much earlier, which is great for them because they'll be, you know, compounding their index fund investments since they're 23, as opposed to me starting at this 36 age, right? Like, they're 13 years. I mean, it's like the difference of like $5 million or something crazy. The earlier
Yeah.
you start compounding. It's like, why did their brains like do that? And
They're
mine
fucking
take
boring.
so long. They're boring. That's what you think?
Well, it's like if they look back from age 80, and assuming we live to it, we look back from age 80, who do you think is more satisfied with their decision? Probably them, because they'll have something to give their grandkids.
Oh,
And
fuck
we just
that.
created Exactly. I'll have had a rich and exciting life in avalanche country.
Right. Getting
And
lanched.
A slightly smaller will.
Yeah. Yeah. I have friends who are like, I want to create a family legacy, which is so weird and egotistical, too. It's like, I need my name, my last name to be like, people want to create generational wealth. I think it's
Wait,
weird.
Do you think that's egotistical or do you think that's selfless?
I think it's egotistical. It's like, why, like, like, wouldn't you want your grandchildren to have the or your great grandchildren or whatever to have the journey of life? Like, isn't that actually what it's about? Like, figuring it out for yourself. I don't know. But I guess successive generations just make it cozier and cozier for their kids for the most part. I don't know.
If I'm thinking about my childhood, I would not have wanted to bootstrap to this point. Like, I'm really grateful for my parents and what they paved for me.
Yeah. How often do you think about it, you ungrateful piece of shit?
Yeah, not enough.
I'm trying to work it into a gratitude practice on the daily. Pretty good. Day and morning and night, actually.
Do you pray to God using Jewish prayer? Because it's all gratitude practice.
Yeah, it's all gratitude. I don't really I like the Shema prayer because it's about oneness, which I think is an interesting meditation to think about the oneness of, like, I even think about it in a scientific way, like you're made up of the same shit that is in the sun and the rest of the universe and in all of nature. And also there's a oneness to the shared kind of human experience. So I do like the Shema prayer just because it addresses that oneness. But for the most part, I just have like a prayerful kind of conversation rooted around gratitude. And I try to have it morning and night, because at night I even just walk through my day in my head and say all the shit I'm grateful for throughout the day, which is like
Tell
everything for the most part.
me some things that you're grateful for.
I'm grateful for my body. Like, if I do like a workout, I'm happy that it carried me through that. I'm grateful for the roof I have over my head. I take a warm shower. I don't know. It's like really fucked up in Gaza, for instance, right now. All those people are in like I don't know when the last time they had like a nice hot shower in a warm, cozy bed, right?
I love that
So
you're bringing this up in the last 2 minutes.
yeah, oh, you can see that we have remaining time, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude. So we have to cover this topic.
Max, we were bored earlier in this conversation.
I
Now
know. We
bring up
got right
Gaza
to it. Well,
showering.
we'll save it for next week.
Anyway,
And they are
like your
Killian
gratitude
Prince.
list. I also like your tone of voice when you say what you're grateful for, because it sounds like you're not.
Like, I'm like bullshitting it or whatever. Like, it's like
Yeah, you're
going through
just
the motions.
listing it. Oh,
Yeah.
yes. Oh, that.
Yeah, there's that. I am great. There's cherry blossoms right now in Philly, so that's pretty cool. They're
Oh, that's a good
blooming
one.
earlier and earlier, and then there was a cold snap, and so it's like they might all die right now. They bloom earlier and earlier because climate change is real, or at least so they told me. I really haven't dug into the data.
It's very real up here. There's
No,
like a
it's not.
bumper sticker that says Alaskans know climate change, because like I can go ski to a glacier near my house and I can watch it disappear over the last 6 years.
Watching it recede. All right, we have less than a minute. Any closing? I think it's funny. I think it'll close us out like automatically, right? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
But I also don't want to lose it's not going to take the recording from me. All right. Any final closing words, Josh?
Same as last time, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Howard Stern's penis.
I just lost the game.
Right, love you.
Well, I
Later.
love you too. Bye.